The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Okay, Ephesus, the ancient mystery revealed. And we're looking through the book of Ephesians. There's the scripture text we've been using from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. I like that. It says, this is the plan. You ever want to know what God's plan is? This is the plan. All right? At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And that was a great mystery revealed at Ephesus, that there's only one God, one Lord, one faith, one church, one baptism. There's only one. Now, men have made a lot of divisions, but as far as God is concerned, there's only one. In the series, we've talked about the history of Ephesus in the first sermon. Then we spoke about why the mystery was revealed at Ephesus. It was just the best place for that seed to germinate, to be planted and germinate. And then for the last 2 weeks, we spoke about how the dead are made alive. If you didn't hear those sermons from the previous 2 weeks, I highly encourage you to listen to them. They're available on the internet. You can watch them a video, or you can download the audio to your devices, computers, iPods, iPads, whatever. So today we're going to continue with how do you walk and work in grace? See? Okay. And here we go. There we go. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2. All of you are familiar with verses 8 and 9, but I've added verse 10 to it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here's verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesus had these marble streets, and we showed some videos of this early on, and they were etched with footprints, which I have one of them here that you can see, sending people in certain directions. If you wanted to find something, that's to say, walk this way. And it interests me that Jesus said about himself that he was the way. The early church was known in the book of Acts. You'll see this. They were known as the way. And so here we have this footprint right here. Looks like someone from the swamp down here. And here you see a little picture of where it was going. And I have another slide. Shows a little bit closer. And you can see. Now, I don't know what this is. I didn't have any instructions when I got this off the internet. But it looks like, I think, the statue of Diana, which would have led to the temple. Or it could have been a picture of the governor. It could have been leading to the governor's place. But at any point, you can see the footprint leading in a certain direction, which is kind of cool that they did that. But what's even cooler is that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, decided to use that terminology in the book of Ephesians. Over 8 times, depending on what translation you use, he talks about the way, you know, or walking, way or walking. So the word way is from a Greek word, hodos, H-O-D-O-S, which denotes a course of conduct, a way of thinking, or the act of journeying. All right? So it's a course of conduct, a way of thinking, or the act of journeying. That's why some of your translations, they've taken the word way out and they've used some other words. You know, they use the word living. They should be living in this way. But actually, you really miss a lot if you don't use, and I've chose to use the New American Standard, which is a very good translation, so you can see how it should be translated, especially in light of what physically was going on there. How many of you have marble in your house? Either a real marble, not faux marble, but real marble. You got marble countertops, or you got marble floors. Anybody here got real marble? I happen to have some real marble in my house. It's a marble countertop in our bathroom. This stuff cost a fortune. It's expensive as all get out, you know? But it'll last forever. In fact, when we were putting it in the house and we selected marble, the guy said, well, you can't use the marble because it gets scratchy, you know, a little scratch, and, you know, you might not like it after a while. And I thought, I got it all over Rome, you know, and these folks used it to make a street out of. You know, it's not going to hurt to have a little countertop on it. Where in our bathroom, Pat has an area where she is. On the other side of the room, I have, you know, where I am. Mine is great. Hers is not. You know, because she's always putting stuff on it that I don't use, you know. All the stuff that ladies use, you know. They put stuff on her face and powder and all that stuff. So it kind of doesn't do as well. It needs a little bit more attention. What I said all that to say is to say this. When you make a street out of marble, that's a big deal. I mean, you got to cut it out and unit. You got to get it flat enough. You know, it doesn't come out of the ground flat. You have to cut it. Now, today we got these big saws, you know, that can do it. They had to use labor, forced labor, probably slave labor, to do it. And then they decided to put little directions on it. How cool that is. I mean, it was really neat. And so when you think about that, you think about Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who chose these words of walking in the way so many times to illustrate to the Ephesians. They got it. But you wouldn't get it if I wouldn't have showed you this. But if you'd have lived in Ephesus back when Paul was there, you'd have got it right away. You'd have probably chuckled to yourself when you got the letter from Paul. Here he is in jail. You missed him. You love him. And he says, you know, when you walk this way. You said, that Paul's so cool. They would have got it. They would have got it. And we need to get it. That there's a way that there are directions in life. For the most part, we don't like directions. We don't like the stop sign at the corner. You know, why did they put that sign there? Why didn't they put it down the block? You know, why is this street one way or it ought to be two way? And then if you really want to get confused, they put a circle out here for us on Brown Switch, you know. Man, that thing is wild going around that circle. You never know what they're going to do, you know. And they got signs that says yield and slow and this way, but it's hard to read and drive at the same time. It's not too bad if you're walking, you know, you can see it on the street, you know. But when you're driving, it's a little difficult. But we, by and large, don't like people telling us what to do. Especially here in America, you know, we're free and we can do whatever we want. As long as the signs tell you you can't do it. Or the signs tell you that you must do it. So life is filled with a lot of walkways. And the way that we walk, the pathways we take, the signs that we follow determine in great part how our lives end up. How many people in your family do you know? Maybe you're one of the family people that they talk about. You know, if you'd have just paid attention, if you just would have went in a different direction, your life could have been so much better. You know, you could have done this had you paid attention, had you listened. I was talking to someone this morning as a pastor, people always ask me for advice. You know, Pastor, what do you think I should do? And I give them the best advice, and then they do what they want to do. You know, I say, walk this way. And they say, no, I don't like that way. I just want to know your opinion. You know, if I start charging for my opinion, maybe people would pay attention, but that's another story. But we all would say that the way that we walked, and we all would say that we should have walked in some directions that we didn't walk in, and we walked in some directions that we shouldn't have walked in. So Ephesus is a place where some of these footprints pointed to different things. They pointed to places of immorality. Wine, women, and song, you know, walk this way. And many people have chosen that. They get involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in. They get hooked on alcoholism or drugs, or they get hooked on pornography and immorality. They get into marriages they shouldn't have got into. You know, people. But let me tell you what. If you got married to somebody that your parents told you not to marry, and it turned out that that they were right, you're still married, so forget about it. Just make the best of what you got, all right? Which you can do a lot, and I won't get into marriage counseling. That's a little bit later on in chapter 5 and 6. We'll be talking about that some. But there's some of the steps led to places of worship. And there in Ephesus, they had the God du jour. You know, just pick the one you want. They had every temple you can imagine along the way. Diana just happened to be the biggest, most popular, well-known one. And I think what happened when Paul and the boys had a little riot going on, that probably helped elevate it to its notoriety that it has today. But, you know, sometimes folks are that way about God. You know, God becomes the God du jour of the day, whatever I need. And we ignore him a lot of the other times, and we don't seek the truth. We want a God that fits our needs instead of our needs fitting our God. You know, there's a big difference in that. Some of the places led to places of learning. They had the largest library. Remember we showed the film about that? Probably the largest library in the in that whole continent, that whole area, which is very unusual for that day and time, especially when you consider all the books were handwritten. I think they said it had around 14, 15,000 books in that library. So I'm sure there's a footprint that led to that. And sometimes we look for learning. We want to get smart enough. I've learned this. Living for God is not about how smart you are. It's about how willing you are to follow his directions. I was a smart guy. You know, I had education. I had skills. I had a dream to be wealthy. I had a dream to be successful. And all my education and all my skills, I ended up at the bottom of the heap because I didn't know God. I was walking in footsteps that said, go this way, but I wasn't following God's steps that said, go another way. And later on, when Pat and I came to the Lord, and I was an old man, I think of myself young now, but at the time I thought I was kind of old. I was 33 years old when I came to the Lord. And everything changed for me. And I began to walk in his way, and I discovered Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And God began to add things to me when we began to follow him. Our whole life changed. And I don't have time to go through all the stories of things that changed by following him. And he was able to do miraculous things because I was seeking him. I was just sharing this morning that when I never liked school. I learned to hate school in kindergarten. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And I hated it every day. And when I finally graduated from college, I was the happiest guy on the planet. Little did I know that I was going to get called into the kingdom of God and that God was going to save my eternal soul and that he was going to want me to go to the seminary. And when God said, go to the seminary, I said, I'll do anything. I don't want to go back to school. I hate school. I don't want to go to school. And the Holy Spirit kept saying, yeah, I want you to go to school, Morris. You got to learn some stuff. I said, but I don't want to learn any more stuff. I know enough. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he keeps putting the heat on you. If you've never been in a pressure cooker of God, you haven't lived. You know, he's just squeezing you and say, come on, walk this way, walk this way. Say, I don't want to go that way. And he just keeps dragging you in the right place. So finally I got to the place where I said, okay, God, it was a Sunday night. I said, God, that's why we don't have Sunday night services, by the way. Because every time I went to Sunday night services, God changed my mind about something, right? So I thought we'd just meet in the daytime. It'd be easier on me, okay? So here I am, Sunday night, and God says, Morris, I want you to... The preacher is preaching on baptism or something, and I hear God say, you need to go to seminary. And finally, just couldn't take it anymore. I said, okay, God, here's the deal. I said, if you open the doors, I will do it. That's the deal. Monday morning, I went to work. My boss called me in and said, we're closing the business down. You don't have a job. I thought, oh, gee, that's a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't have a clue that that was going to happen. And so I heard the Holy Spirit said, why don't you call a seminary? I thought, oh, okay. So while I still had a phone, I went into my office, which as soon as I could clear up my desk, I could leave. And I called the seminary, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and I asked, when is registration? They said, Thursday. I said, oh, okay. So then I prayed. I said, Lord, I need a job. I got to support my wife and kids. You know, I need a job. And the Lord says, why don't you call a friend of mine? His name is Joe. He said, why don't you call Joe? And he worked for an employment agency and see what they got. So I called Joe. Joe wasn't there. I went to the employment agency. There was another guy there. And I walked in. And this is I'm really digressing. I'm not going to get through the sermon today. I'm just telling you a story. Testimony. I went to the employment agency. And I walked in. It was kind of around lunchtime. And the guy said, what kind of work are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for part-time work. And he said, well, don't you want a full-time job? I said, no, I just want a part-time job. And he says, well, why? I said, because I want to go to school. He said, well, you already have a degree, because he had my resume. I gave it to him. And so I said, well, yeah, but I just would need a part-time job. And he said, well, why? I said, because I want to go to school. He said, well, what kind of school? I didn't want to tell him. I said, I finally said, this is 15 minutes, I finally said, well, I want to go to seminary. He said, where? I said, seminary. He said, seminary? Why do you want to go to seminary? I thought, well, I'm not going to get a job with this guy anyway. So I said, well, because I believe the Lord told me to go. He said, you believe the Lord told you to go to seminary? And I said, yeah. He stands up. He's got my paper. He says, come with me. I'm in a high-rise building down in New Orleans. I'm all dressed in a suit. I used to wear a suit and tie to work and all that kind of stuff. This guy's in a suit and tie. Walks me down the corridors of this building. Opens the door to a conference room. I walk in. There's about 20 guys in suits sitting in this beautiful office around this conference table. And he walks in with me following behind him like a sheep or a goat. And he said, he's got the papers. He said, hey. This guy just walked in this place, said he wants a part-time job because he said God wants him to go to seminary. What do y'all think about that? And I'm stunned. And in unison, they all broke out praising the Lord. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. They clapping their hands and applauding. I said, what is going on here? And the guy says, come on in here. We're having a Bible study. Why don't you join us for the Bible study? I said, what about the job? He said, oh, we're going to pray about the job. Don't worry about it. So I sat down with these guy, group of guys. They had a nice, stayed up there about an hour. They all prayed for me. The guy said, I know someone I'm going to call. He called this guy who was the owner of a computer company down in New Orleans in the French Quarter. I told him about me. And he said, why don't you go down there and see him? And I went down to see him. I mean, this is all happening within a day, all right? Maybe it's a Tuesday, right. I got fired on Monday. Tuesday, I'm looking for a job. So I go down and I met the guy's name was Roland Petweet, who owned the company, and I told him what I wanted to do, and he was kind of impressed that I wanted to go to seminary. And now everybody knew, so there was no sense in hiding it. And I told him, I said, well, you go to college, you go to classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday. So I figured I could work it around and work maybe 32 hours a week. So I said, well, I'll work 32 hours a week. He told me what he thought he could pay me, and so I said, okay. So I left. So Thursday, I went down to the, I had the job. I mean, he gave me the job right there on the spot. So I went down to the seminary on Thursday to register, and then I discovered something I didn't know. Seminary doesn't go to school on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Tuesday, and Thursday. They go 4 days a week, all day long. So I said, man, there's no way I can work 32 hours and do this. So I said, oh, man. And I said, when do classes start? Next Tuesday. I said, oh. Well, no, next Monday. It was a Monday. It was starting Monday. So I called the guy up who just gave me the job, and I said, I told him what had happened, that the classes weren't the same. I said, there's no way I could work 32 hours a week. And he said, well, how much could you work? I said, I don't know, maybe 24 hours, something like that. He said, that's fine. You just come on, you can work that. I said, well, how much would you pay me? He said, I'll just pay you what I said I was going to pay you anyway. As it turned out, I made more money per hour while I was in seminary working for that company than I made full-time working for the company before. Just I want to show you just how God opens things up when he says, walk this way. As it turned out, I got to lead that man to the Lord. He died while I was working there. I ended up being the president of that company. Just to show you how God, I went from a part-time guy in the seminary to the president of the company. God says, walk this way. And so often we fight God. He says, walk in a direction and we don't want to go. And I am the world's worst. I'm not telling you stuff. You heard my own. I told you this morning, I don't want to hear about a building. And so I don't want to hear about it, you know. I can tell you, good thing we don't have Sunday night services. I'd be toast. You know? But every time I finally cave in and do what God wants me to do, and I walk in the right direction, great and wonderful things happen in my life. So I've learned that. This is crazy. This is crazy. But this turns out to be awesome. This turns to be awesome. So what we need to do is to learn to do that, Paul. We need to follow him. You know, you're here by following God. Your mother said, you know, she wanted you to play for the Lord. And here you are, and your whole life is being transformed. I mean, I can see your face. You come. I mean, he's another one. You know, I don't know what happened to our threesome that sit up here, Larry, Curly, and Mo. You know, actually, it's Larry and Lisa and Tommy, but that, you know, they're not here, so I can say that. I'll say that they're here. It wouldn't matter. But the point is following the Lord, and that's what this is all about. That's what Paul's trying to tell these folks to do, that there's a way that we should walk, and he wants us to walk in a certain way. Now, back to my notes. If we will follow him, our lives will be completely different. And I've got a video that I want to show you about walking in the right way. And Jim put this together sometime back. And as I was praying about this and putting it together, the little song kept running in my head, the song Villa Dolorosa. And I thought about that, and I asked Jim if he would put something together, and Jim's going to show us this video right now.
Chose to walk that road.
pretty striking, isn't it? It really is. I think we sometimes never really grasp what's really important in life. We get so tied up in our bodies and what our bodies want. We try to satisfy its needs. You know, you're thirsty, you want something to drink. You're hungry, you want something to eat. You're cold, you want warmth. It's raining, you want shelter. But it's not enough, because we always want more. Nothing ever satisfies us. It's not enough to have one pair of shoes. We want to have 10 pairs of shoes. It's not enough to have one house. We want to have a bigger house. We go through this torturous process in our lives, trying to fulfill needs that can never be satisfied. There's no way to quench the thirst of a mortal body. And the only thing that will give us a sense of well-being to live a life of peace is to follow Christ down the Via Dolorosa. Amen. To realize what he did. I'm always amazed when I study the scriptures and I see how much God loves us. You know, most of the songs we sing, we talk about, I love God. You know, I love you, I love you. And under the law, you know, we talk about loving God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul and our whole being. And James Barron pointed this out several years ago when he said, it's not about how much we love God. It's about how much God loves us. That he loves us with all of his heart and his mind and his soul and his being and his will. And the scriptures say that. You know, and Pat mentioned the scripture earlier. It's not that we love God, but that God loved us. I say, well, how could the eternal creator of the universe love a wretch like me? Well, you'll never figure that one out. You'll never figure it out. You'll never figure it out. Because it doesn't make any sense. I can almost hear Jesus up in heaven say, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. I don't leave this place and go down there and live with them and be one of them. This is crazy. Is there another way? That's what he said at the garden. Is there another way? Is there another way? Is there another pathway I could walk on? But he saw you. He saw you, Millie. He saw you. 99.9999999 as many nines as you want in the world has no clue who you are. You know? But God looked from the portals of heaven, said, this is crazy. But you know what? Millie is awesome. Millie is awesome. And he gave everything just for you. Just for you. Just for each one of us here. So much. And, you know, when you use this imagery of these footsteps, and we think about how many times are we going to keep walking down the wrong pathway? How many times? How many times are you going to end up on them dead-end streets? How many times are you going to end up places where you don't belong, where God doesn't want you to be? When he says, walk this way. Do you get the picture with Jesus, with the disciples? There's Peter and John in the boat working, and he walks up to him and he says, come, follow me. Do you know what the next part of that scripture says? They left everything and followed him. I can just hear Peter's wife saying, are you crazy? Who What's that guy? We don't even know him. In fact, there's some things I heard about him are not too good. All right, is he legitimate? This time I'm just making up the story, but you get the picture. But they left everything and followed him. We couldn't begin to imagine the glory of God that has been put upon those men who are willing to follow him. And you know, the same invitation is given for us. Come, follow me. Not following the world, not following your own desires, not following all the things you want. Every time you follow what you want, I promise you it's another dead-end street. And you'll be sitting at the end of Dead End Street wondering, what do I do now? How am I going to get out of this mess I got myself into? And we do that. We get ourselves in messes. I've done it as a Christian. I've justified things that God had nothing to do with. I remember when I wanted to take my business and join it with another guy because he was offering to put hundreds of thousands of dollars into my business and make it a national concern. And my business partner and I, we were both born-again, tongue-talking believers. And Wayne and I sat down and we said, this is good. This is God. God is opening this door for us. We know it's God. I mean, we're nobody from nowhere. And this very wealthy entrepreneur wants our business, wants to buy into our business. This is God. Oh, except for the fact that he didn't know God. Oh, and except for the fact that the scripture says to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Oh, except for that. And about $350,000 worth of debt later, when I had to come home and tell Pat, honey, we're losing it all. And she said, we'll be okay. I said, I'm talking about losing it all. Our house, our beautiful home we lived in, the cars, everything was going. That wasn't a happy day. I wasn't singing joyful songs that day. But Pat, thank God for a good wife, said, we'll be okay. We'll do whatever it takes, Morris. Don't worry about it. And God got me out of that. He got me out of it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no resources, nothing, no contacts. And I went to work Monday morning in my beautiful office that was not paid for because I hadn't paid rent in ever. And the guy who had put the money up went bankrupt and left me holding the bills. And I walked into a beautiful office with our name stenciled in 24-karat gold on the door that wasn't paid for. And we walked in on a Monday morning. Monday mornings are not good days to go to work. You get fired, or you walk in and you see your office flooded. There's about 6 inches of water on the floor. Every piece of computer equipment you own is gone. All of our we had brochures that looked like they came from Hollywood. I mean, we spent a fortune on a brochure. They were soaking wet and useless. Everything we had to operate a business, not only was I in debt, $350,000, everything I had in my business was gone. It was so bad, Pat put baggies on her feet to walk through the office to try to salvage some stuff. So where do I go from here, Lord? It flooded from the top. There was a restaurant on top of us, a bar, and one of the Coke machines, you know those automatic Coke machines that they pull the trigger on, had broken off, and it flooded the office. They closed up on Friday night, and it broke, and it flooded the whole weekend. Beautiful wallpaper that we paid a fortune for was peeling off the wall. That's how bad it was. I said, Lord, what are we going to do now? And I could almost hear the Lord saying, oh, you want to talk to me? And I was in church, and I was going through all the stuff, But my focus wasn't on God. My focus had been, I had walked down a street I shouldn't have walked down. I was following footprints I shouldn't have followed. And we didn't know, we had insurance, but we didn't have enough insurance to cover all of that. Well, I'm not going to go through the whole litany of it all. But one of my clients, who owned a construction company, walked in and he said, "My God, Morris, what happened here?" And we told him, he said, have you signed any papers? Have you done anything for your insurance? He said, I said, no. He said, don't do a thing. He said, I've got somebody that you need to talk to. It was a lady, it was a friend of his, who was insurance, who handled claims for a major insurance company. That was her job. She was an executive with that company, wasn't she? Yeah. And he said, don't do anything until you talk to her. She came, we gave her our insurance policy. She read it. She told us what to do. She walked us through 2 years, 2 years of legalities. And when it was all said and done, guess what? All the losses for insurance of the business were paid for. All of my debt was paid for. And I was completely debt free. Walk this way.
See?
Oh, yeah, the contract with them, that was over with. That was over with.
I mean, start over again.
Nobody claimed that Coke machine. The restaurant said, it's not ours, we rented it from Coca-Cola. So we went to see Coca-Cola of New Orleans, and they said, it's not ours. It must belong to Coca-Cola of Louisiana. So we went to see Coca-Cola of Louisiana, said, it's not ours, and blown us. Everybody says, it's not ours, it's not ours, it's not ours. Because of this woman who helped us out so much, and because of a great friend, Tom Thornhill, who was our attorney, we went through, he brought Coca-Cola of Louisiana, Coca-Cola of USA, that's what it was. Coca-Cola Louisiana, Coca-Cola USA, brought him to the office in Slidell, sat down, Pat and I, and said, you guys are going to pay. This is what, we were an innocent third party, and you're going to pay. And I said, I don't know which one of you are going to pay. We had all the documentation. I mean, we were so, thank God for Pat. She did a great job. She's got all the paperwork together. Well, let me tell you the remarkable part of the whole story. It's a remarkable story anyway. But those two guys went off in the back room together, and they talked, and they came back, and they settled the thing right there. We owed a big part of that to the attorney for a fee. He said, because this girl had done such a good job of putting all together, that he wrote, when he got his commission check, he wrote it out to her.
Wow.
And gave it to her.
Wow.
All he took was just the meager expenses that he had out of it. That's all he took. And gave the rest of it to her.
Wow.
See, how many attorneys you know give out their fee away? Uh-huh. This, the things I'm telling you, and I don't normally have time to spend this much time in detail about things, is about how we walk. And we make these decisions. We decide, well, I'm going to walk this way. And you know you're going the wrong way. You know it. And you walk that way anyway. And you end up crashed and burning like I did. And then you said, God. And he says, oh, you want to talk to me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek you when?
First.
What does that mean? Follow him. Follow him. Put every decision in your life in front of him. It's not about what would Jesus do. It's about what would Jesus have you do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Seeking him, making that the hallmark of your life. And then all the rest of this stuff just kind of follows along behind. That's why I get a kick sometimes. People say, man, you're a very successful businessman. No, I'm not. I'm a jerk. It's not only a C student, I'm a horrible businessman. You know, because I disobeyed God and did things that I shouldn't do. God had mercy on me and pulled me out of it. And I hope I've learned my lesson. I hope I have. But I know this for sure. Anything you see, you think, well, Morris and Patty got it all together. He's got it all together. We just gave it to him. And that's what works. That's what works.
Before you close, could I share a testimony?
Sure. I'm getting ready to wrap up right now. This is. Oh, we got a microphone right here. I'm going to let you say something, then I'm going to close in prayer.
As I was watching the video, and there were so many images of when Jesus fell with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my testimony is that when I was a boy, I grew up in Catholic Church and all that. Anyway, fast forward to just... Well, I began my walk with the Lord. I came to the Lord in 1986. Well, 1984, the Lord, you know, kind of, well, he delivered me from a real serious addiction that I had by going to 12-step programs. But in that process, I began to embrace God and these principles, these steps that they had, and it was like little baby steps of faith. I didn't really know God well. I didn't know the Bible or anything like that, but we prayed at meetings. We prayed the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, and then I'd go home and I'd pray for my friends. And it's like the Lord just took this away from me just in a relatively short period of time, and I was really free at the time. So anyway, so then about a year and a half later, I was watching Richard Roberts one night on TV. He led the viewers in sinner's prayer, and I got on my knees in my apartment and prayed that. And then... the Lord directed my steps to a local charismatic church, and I really began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and reading the Bible and all that. So anyway, and then and then after 7 years of walking with the Lord, and the Lord blessed me with a wife, and there was just some issues that she had and I had, and fear came in, and anyway, it was a very brief marriage, very, very traumatic, and I wound up backsliding for 10 years. Nonetheless, the Lord turned me around and helped me return to him, and that was 10 years ago. But anyway, about 3 or 4 years ago, I had this question in my mind. When did I first believe? And the Lord took me back in my mind, in my memory, to the church in St. Charles Borromeo Church in Destrehan. As a boy, standing in the front, you know, they had the way of the cross and the stations mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. cross. Standing in the front of the painting where Jesus fell with the cross. Mm-hmm. And God revealed to me mm-hmm. that in that moment, I believed in my
Amen.
Heart.
Hallelujah.
And from that moment on, he became my shepherd.
Yes.
God became my father. And even though I went out into the world looking for love and truth in all the wrong places, like a sheep going astray, got myself messed up in all kinds of sin. But he never left me nor forsook me.
Yes.
And I believe there are many, many people who have once believed in their heart that Jesus Christ is their Lord, or is the Lord, and he is our Savior. But we, like sheep, go astray. And many people have gone astray. But God knows their heart, you know, and we need to bring the love of God to these souls who don't have that relationship that we have, you know. And to qualify all of that, as the Word says in Romans 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Good testimony. Thank you for sharing that, Ricky. I appreciate that. Let's all stand. Well, this has been a very unusual service, and I love it. All right. Yeah, you never know what God might do just showing up. I like it when God starts showing up and messes everything up. I love it because that's the only time we get straightened out. Father, we thank you for the time we've had here this morning. Father, we thank you for your divine intervention in what we had planned. Lord, I ask you to cause the words we've heard today from you, that they pierce our soul, and that we will follow you all the days of our lives. Order our steps, Father, according to your plan for each of our lives. Keep us safe. Watch over us. Help us, Lord, if you tarry, to be able to come back here again next Sunday and be in your presence with one another. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, if you've got buildings on the mind, I ask you to show it to us. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.